the memories are the ebb and flow of business or the economy, if you will. You know, but I think right now, I've said before that throughout those 30 years, there always seemed to be one signature project, you know, going on, whether it's an expansion of Mass Mutual or the building of the towers, One Monarch Place. But now you've got four or five major projects going on at the same time with MGM, Union Station, the railroad company, the innovative district, you know, more entrepreneurs coming in. So I think actually, you know, maybe it's just because recent memory is better than past memory, but right now Springfield and the region really has several drivers going all at the same time. And I think, you know, quite frankly, that was a reason why I thought the chamber had a lot to do with many of those projects, and it's kind of a nice time to leave and have somebody else come in and carry those over the goal line.
Does Massachusetts get a bad rap when it comes to its business climate?
Yeah, I think so. A bit unfair. You know, luckily, I've not heard, again, over the 30 years, I've not heard the term Taxachusetts used probably in the last 10 or 12 years. So I really do think that was a little bit of a myth, but there was a great deal of truth to it. So that's the good news. I think, you know, we have a very active legislature. They're in basically for the full year. And with that, you know, active legislature, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you're always seeing new rules and regulations, whether it's paid family leave or an increase in the minimum wage or a lot of those types of things. And I think what Massachusetts suffers from a bit is just uncertainty. Many of those ideas, you know, are rightly so debated as they should be in the legislature, but just the fact they're being debated and you don't know if they're going to be successful or not, I think gives the business climate a little bit of pause. Well, it looks good now, but what's it going to look like next year?
You mentioned minimum wage, paid family leave. It oftentimes seems like the chambers of commerce in Massachusetts are on the minority side of public opinion when it comes to a lot of these issues. Is it difficult to advocate for some of those positions?
Well, I think that's one good thing. You know, if I take some credit here at the chamber over 30 years, when I was hired, I was the first full-time lobbyist, if you will, vice president of government affairs. And again, I think that's a fallacy that Massachusetts suffers from, talking about an activist legislature, is that there's this wall between business and our public officials, our elected officials. And I think we've broken that wall down. So, you know, you're right. We are in the minority opinion oftentimes. But minimum wage, for instance, I think if our voice wasn't there and we didn't say, you know, be very careful on this, it might have unintended consequences. You know, you might have seen that minimum wage much higher than it was. You know, the mandated leave, when we got involved in that, even the Attorney General, now that one was passed by the people, that was on a ballot. But the Attorney General came to us and said, well, what are your concerns about it? So I think if you look at wins and losses, then the business community might feel they've had more losses. But if they really dig into it and saw what it might have been had that voice not been heard, would have been much worse. So I think that right now the climate between the business community and the legislature is good.
We hear a lot in Massachusetts about there being two economies. There's the economy in Greater Boston, and there's the economy in the rest of the state. Have you ever found that you're at odds with your fellow business community in the eastern part of the state when it comes to issues or policy positions? And you look at something and say, well, that would be great for Boston, but what about Springfield?
Yeah, they're not often, because not necessarily at odds, but there have been at least a handful of bills that basically say, well, this will only, this in order to do this, you had to have, let's say, a minimum size business of 100. Well, that's a small business in Boston, but out here, you know, I think 72% of our businesses are 10 or less. I've heard even 5 or less. I'm just trying to chase that down. But oftentimes when they size these bills to say, well, this is going to be a small business bill for 100 people or more, it doesn't trickle out here. So that's, we try to put that point out constantly.
I know you're going to tell me you're bullish on the business community in Springfield, but why?
Well, you know, as I said, there's a lot going on right now. I think, you know, we still have a perception problem. I mean, I live in the outskirts, and so I hear it all the time when I'm down at a hockey game or a play or whatever. But that's starting to turn a little bit, and I think it's turning because there's more good stories now to put forward. I mean, I do think that the local ownership of the hockey team that's maybe a cheerleader type of thing will. I'm certainly hopeful, and I think it will be good in the long run. But as I said, with MGM coming in with those jobs, I've worked closely with them. I think their commitment is to using small business, so I think that's going to be a multiplier effect. Our manufacturing is going great here. I mean, you know, Smith & Wesson just did a couple acquisitions, which will shore up that, bring in the railroad and with those manufacturing jobs. And finally, I think one thing I see, Paul, that's different, is finally, I think the business community and the education community is in lockstep. Before, I think the business community just assumed that our vocational schools, our technical colleges were turning out the workers of tomorrow. When they turned them out, though, the business community about 10 years ago said, well, these aren't who we need. And education said, well, you got to tell us 5 or 10 years before. And that's going on right now. So I think you know, right now, Precision Machining is looking for about 300 people. I think that's going to dwindle in the future because we're now talking to those educators, telling them what we need, and they're producing it. So I think Six Flags and Yankee Candle and just the quality of life, the Connecticut River, you know, you can't beat that, the cost of housing. So it's just the jobs, and I think that's coming on board right now.